Time to separate what is true from what is total BS on Fact or Fiction.
You must choose, but choose wisely.
Here's Adam the Bull.
All right, welcome back. It's Fact or Fiction time. We'll bring in James from the studio in New York. James will give me a question or a comment, and I'll tell you whether it's fact or fiction. James, start us off.
Number one, we are going to start with your favorite NFL player, Dez Bryant. He was cut by the Cowboys this week, one of the all-time great Cowboys. Not really. Dez reportedly walked out of camp by saying, "I'll see you guys twice a year," hinting that he will sign with an NFC East team. Fact or fiction, Dez will be back at the NFC East.
I'll say fiction. I mean, you know, the early reports from all three NFC East teams seem to have no interest. I don't think he's a good fit on the Giants. Same with Philadelphia. I don't think they'd want to bring him in there. Maybe Washington, I guess, you know, but I don't see it. No, listen, Dez Bryant hasn't been an elite wide receiver in 4 years. Last 3 years, he's been you know, okay, but he played 16 games last year. The 2 years before that, he missed a lot of time. You played 16 games last year, still didn't have 1,000 yards. I still think that he's a threat in the red zone and a solid player, but he's not a number one wide receiver anymore, in my opinion. He's almost 30. He's a pain in the neck. Hasn't had a 1,000-yard season, I said, in 4 years, and has had some injury problems. So the Cowboys were smart to cut him. I'm surprised it took them this long.
As someone that roots for an NFC East team, I do not want him on the Giants. And he's not a receiver that I fear for at least 3 years, so I don't really think his game is going to get any better.
No,
Johnny Manziel played his last spring game this week. Manziel was 10 of 16 for 188 yards and an interception. He added 27 rushing yards on 6 attempts and 2 touchdowns. Reportedly, Manziel is still mulling over an offer to play in the CFL. Fact or fiction, Manziel will play organized football next year.
I'll say fact, but it's going to be the CFL. I don't think any team is going to give him a chance in the NFL. Not now. How do you believe him? How do you trust him at all? The guy's a good talker. I don't believe anything he says. I think he's a total phony. He had no commitment to the sport. He claims to be taking responsibility. At every chance he gets, he throws the Browns under the bus for his failures. The Browns have been a mess. We all know that, but... Johnny Manziel's to blame for his failures, not anybody else. So I do think the Canadian team has that contract out there. I think he's going to see if he can get invited to some camp here in the next few weeks. And if not, I think he'll go play in Canada.
Switching gears to baseball, last hour you discussed Shohei Ohtani's success with David Sampson. While Ohtani has been a great story so far, the Angels have started 10 starters in their first 15 games. Fact or fiction, the Angels starting Ohtani at pitcher once a week is sustainable for a full season?
I think it is. I'll say fact, although the Angels have had so many injuries in their pitching staff, it's going to be tough. 10 starters, 15 games. I mean, you can't. There's just so many starters you can have. I think what they're doing, I understand what they're doing. He's used to that from his time in Japan, and they want to make him as comfortable as possible, especially in his rookie year. So I think it does make some sense. He's a very young pitcher. I don't think it's sustainable like over year after year after year after year, but I think for 1 year, I think it is.
Mets-Yankees, both two baseball teams in New York, had different expectations heading into the season. The Yankees are expected to compete for a World Series this year, but the Mets actually have a better record right now. Fact or fiction, the Mets will have a better record than the Yankees this year?
No, that's fiction. You don't want to go too crazy in judging teams based on 2 weeks. You know, I mentioned last segment that I do think the Mets, of the surprise good teams, has the best chance to sustain it. But like I said, also, I wouldn't be surprised if 3 of their starters were on the DL before the end of the month. I'm not a huge believer in their lineup. I'm not, you know, as Drubal Cabrera and Todd Frazier off to great starts, I don't trust either of those guys to stay healthy and be good all year. So, no, as good a start as the Mets are off to, and the Yankees have been kind of middling, the Mets only four games better right now, five games better. Six in the loss column, actually. But we got a long way to go. This is only 2 weeks and change into the season. No, the Yankees will finish with a better record.
While it pains me to do this, I'm going to ask you another Mets-related question.
Yeah.
Mets-Red Sox currently have the best records in baseball, again, only through the first 2 weeks of the season. Fact or fiction, it's early, but a rematch of the 1986 World Series will happen.
Fiction, no. I don't think either team will go to the World Series, despite the great starts that both are off to. Red Sox have won 9 of 10. Mets have won 9 in a row. But no, I'm not a believer in either team, even though if they both did stay healthy and made the playoffs, then I'd give them a chance. I mean, the Red Sox have completely healthy with Sale and Porcello and David Price, but I don't trust David Price. I don't really love Porcello, and I don't trust the Mets pitchers outside of maybe Syndergaard and DeGrom to stay healthy.
Price went one inning against the Yankees this week.
Yeah.
He really gutted it out.
He never pitched well against the Yankees, but I'll tell you, the Yankees pitching stinks right now.
Yeah, their starters have been pretty bad this week.
And that was the concern coming into the season. I mean, I still think the Yankees are going to make the playoffs. But the big concern about the Yankees coming into the season was their pitching. And, nothing we've seen early is going to change that opinion. Tanaka's been awful so far. Montgomery's just a guy. Sabathia's hurt already. I know he's coming back. Sonny Gray has not pitched well. I mean, Sonny Gray's almost given up two base runners per inning. There's concerns with the Yankee rotation, no doubt.
Again, more baseball early season overreactions.
Yeah.
If you look at the league leaders, Bryce Harper and Mike Trout currently lead their respective leagues in home runs. Fact or fiction, Harper and Trout will be leading their leagues in home runs when the season ends.
You know what's even more amazing than that is the guys who are in Yadier Molina is tied for second in home runs with 5 in the National League, which is stunning. I mean, what's the most home runs Yadier Molina's ever had in a season? I'm going to look it up. I want to say like 15 maybe. Oh, no, he had 22. In 2012. In fact, he's only had double-digit home runs 4 times, and he's second in the National League with 5. So that's a bizarre early season stat. Will Harper and Trout lead their teams in home run, lead their leagues in home runs? I'll say fiction. At least one of them won't. I definitely can see Trout leading the American League in homers. They both certainly could, but I'll say fiction. I'll say fiction.
Switching gears to the NBA, Ben Simmons, Donovan Mitchell had a feud this week when they were talking about the NBA Rookie of the Year race. Mitchell's, again, frustration, in quotes, stemmed from the definition of a rookie, as Simmons spent all of last year with the Sixers. Fact or fiction, Simmons should still be considered a rookie.
Well, if you look at Simmons, I know he was with the Sixers last year, but he didn't play.
He didn't play at all, but Mitchell's example, which I thought was a good one,
yeah,
it was like you had a year and a half to study for a test instead of, a few months.
I don't know. I mean, if a guy, in baseball, you have guys that come over from foreign countries, can win Rookie of the Year. You have a guy that could be up and down between the majors and minors for a few years, still win Rookie of the Year. Does Ben Simmons get an advantage by being on the Sixers, around the Sixers for a year over Donovan Mitchell? Sure. But ultimately, he didn't play a single minute. If he had played like 15 games and you still could win a Rookie of the Year, then maybe I would buy his argument. But I know he was around, but he didn't play at all. And you know what? These guys going back and forth on the Rookie of the Year is lame. Just, you're both really good young players. Just let your game talk for yourself. Donovan Mitchell's had a magnificent season. He's averaging over 20 points a game as a rookie. They're both great players. I personally don't care. I mean, I think Ben Simmons should win Rookie of the Year because I think he's a better roller. I mean, the guy's averaging 16, 8, and 8 It's ridiculous. But no, I'm totally buying he's a rookie. I think it's fair. Although I will admit that getting to sit for a year does it gives him a little advantage, but I still think it's fair.
I think Ben Simmons should get it. The most interesting thing about Ben Simmons' stat line, he has not hit a three-pointer this entire season. He is 0 for 11 from downtown.
That's amazing. It really is.
In the current NBA where it seems like, you know, there's 30, 40 threes
right.
shot a game, he has not hit one.
Yeah, and that's why, I mean, like, he's a good shooter, like, inside the three-point line, right? He's a 55% shooter on the season, but he's only averaging 16 points because he never shoots three. It really is amazing. Like, you think the only guys that don't shoot threes, and there's not many, are, like, you know, the old-school traditional centers where there aren't too many of those guys left. But there's very few players that don't shoot threes, and there's certainly very few guards that don't shoot threes. It really is amazing. And the guy just does, as you said, he only shot 11 threes all season and didn't make a single one. It's really one of the most mind-blowing stats in the NBA. How good he is, and yet he can't make a three. And he doesn't even shoot threes. Doesn't even try.
Can't shoot. Final one. While Cavs-Warriors is still the likeliest scenario for the NBA Finals, neither team is the top seed in their respective conferences. The last time neither top seed advanced to the NBA Finals was the 2012 NBA Finals when the Heat and the Thunder met. Fact or fiction, given this information, you want to change your NBA Finals prediction?
No. Fiction. It's still going to be Cavs and Warriors. The seeds don't matter. I think if Steph Curry is not healthy, though, I would pick the Rockets. And I think the Cavs, even though the Warriors are better than the Cavs, I think the Cavs are more likely to get to the finals because the Rockets are a lot better than anybody in the East. But ultimately, if Steph Curry is good to go for the Western Conference Finals, and is assuming LeBron doesn't get hurt, which I think is a pretty safe assumption, then I would not change my pick at all. I think it is going to be round four, whether you like it or not, Cavs-Warriors.
Now you know what's true and what's total BS.